So it's the final batch now of local news and features for the edition for the 12th of June 2025. And I'm joined by Uta. And we have four headlines for you. And Uta's headlines are...
Oh, I started off. Okay. Well, seething Stokey Stephanie slams ridiculous bus service. And the last case is syphilis cases in Stoke-on-Trent reach record high.
And my headlines are Stoke-on-Trent, a ghost city as vape shops replace banks, libraries and toilets. And Stokeyware pottery range celebrates city's centenary for me to finish on. So over to Uta, who's going to do the first story in our final batch, batch seven.
So this is all about Stokey Stephanie. Well, she was seething. A passenger is calling for improvements to her local bus service. Stephanie Mountford relies on the 8A D&G service linking Hanley, Norton, Brown Edge and Endon. But the 64-year-old says she can be out of the house for hours when catching the bus, with the same car journey taking just 20 minutes. It comes as Stoke-on-Trent City Council has praised its multi-million pound bus service revolution. Retired Stephanie from Norton Green said, "There are no facilities in Norton Green. No shops, no bank, no doctors, nothing. So you need to travel outside the area to get things done. But the limited service makes that a near impossible challenge. It's just no use if you've got appointments or you need to go somewhere important. The bus doesn't come at set times throughout the day. So you have to remember all the different changes and we don't even get one per hour. Sometimes you can be waiting as long as 80 minutes before you can get a bus. It's just ridiculous. If I want to go anywhere, like meeting my friend for a coffee or visiting the dentist in Sneed Green, I have to leave over an hour before I need to get there. Sometimes if you're getting a connecting bus from Newcastle and it's a bit delayed and you just miss the 8A home, then you're stuck waiting in Hanley for over an hour with all the unsavoury characters there. In a car, some of these journeys could take you 20 minutes, but if you go by bus, it can take half your day, just because of all the waiting time around. My partner has a car, but he works, and I can't be asking my family to taxi me around all the time anyway. I want my independence." Stephanie added, "The council has had government funding to provide improvements to public transport and it's especially needed in rural areas like here. We don't need much, just a bus to run every half an hour instead of every hour, Monday to Saturday, but they've just refused it. It frustrates me when I see all these councillors praising themselves. We've got an extra bus for Norton, an extra bus for Ball Green, an extra bus for Middleport, and yet there's still nothing for us. We're all fed up down here because you can't get anywhere. All the other wards, like Norton and Ball Green, have got three different bus companies going to lots of different places. Hanley, Tunstall, Newcastle. But we can't get more than the bare minimum. Everything just falls on deaf ears. Transport operator D&G has not provided a statement to Stoke-on-Trent Live. But Stoke-on-Trent City Council says current passenger numbers do not warrant a more frequent bus service. A council spokesperson said, "We know it's important that our residents have access to buses that go where people need to go. That's why we have introduced over 30 new or enhanced services through our bus service improvement plan over the last couple of years. And through our enhanced partnership, we work very closely with the city's bus operators to ensure they have the best chance of becoming commercially viable when the subsidies have to end. Unfortunately, passenger numbers at Norton Green and Brown Edge do not currently support the 8A service being increased beyond its current operating times. The bus company has implemented a robust timetable, which they expect to be achievable and reliable, and we will continue to work with them to see if this can be adapted to accommodate any increase in footfall. If more people use the bus in the future, then we will work with the bus operators to serve passengers more frequently, but if people do not use the bus, then the service will not be increased." So that's it, Tim.
It seems as if she needs to be encouraging all her neighbours and everyone around her to use the bus more. Okay, so my next story is Stoke-on-Trent, a ghost city as vape shops, replace banks, libraries and toilets. Stoke-on-Trent is becoming a ghost city, with banks, libraries, pharmacies and public toilets being replaced by vape shops, bookies and takeaways. A hard-hitting report released this month has warned of the changing nature of many high streets, including Stoke-on-Trent. The trends are particularly stark in places already struggling with health and economic inequalities. Among the areas highlighted as suffering include the six towns of Stoke-on-Trent, with a particular focus on Hanley. The research team from Virtual Institute Health Equity North set out to catalogue changes to high streets in England. They used data to track different businesses and amenities between 2014 and 2024. They found that over the past decade, high streets have lost one in five retail units and shops, two in five banks and a quarter of their public toilets, and one in six of pharmacies. At the same time, the number of vape shops has increased by nearly 1,200%, and there are over three times more vape shops in deprived areas than in well-off ones. However, in Stoke-on-Trent, this figure was far higher, with a 149% rise in vape shops over the 10-year period, one of the biggest increases in the country. Meanwhile, there are 25 times more pawnbrokers in deprived areas and more than three times more bootmakers, with such shops across Hanley, Longton and Stoke-on-Trent. Takeaway shops are up by 24% across the whole of England, but by 30% in the most deprived areas, and the increase in takeaways in the north has almost doubled the south, at 31% compared to 18%. At the same time, the number of public toilets has fallen by 32% in the north compared to 19% in the south. Elsewhere, the number of high street chemists per 10,000 people has fallen from 2.1 to 1.8 nationally in a decade. The report also highlighted a decline in what is called third places, including cafes, pubs, social clubs and community centres. These can lead to more vibrant and safer communities, which in turn has a positive effect on people's health and well-being. The report authors want the government to take urgent steps to reverse the deterioration of England's high streets, particularly in the north and in more deprived areas like Stoke-on-Trent. Dr. Eamon Z. Abbasid, who is research associate at Newcastle University's Population Sciences Institute, said, "Our research shows that our high streets are becoming less healthy and welcoming places to visit. This trend is only getting worse and is even more pronounced in deprived areas. The disappearance of amenities such as supermarkets, banks, pharmacies and public toilets particularly affects groups such as women, children and the elderly." Dr. Luke Munford, academic co-director at Health Equity North and senior lecturer at in health economics at the University of Manchester, said, "Local authorities should be empowered to regulate unhealthy amenities and incentivise places that offer vital services and help communities to thrive." So over to Uta, who's going to do the next story for us in batch number 7.
It's a story with a lot of numbers to read out, because syphilis cases in Stoke-on-Trent reach record high. Record numbers of sexually active men and women in Stoke-on-Trent were diagnosed with syphilis last year, new figures show. A total of 72 people were struck down with a sexually transmitted illness in the city in 2024. This is a rise from 68 in 2023 before, and the highest figure since records began in 2012. Overall, 1,731 STI diagnoses were recorded in Stoke-on-Trent last year, including 903 for chlamydia and 333 for gonorrhea. The data from the UK Health Security Agency has been released, as medics have warned the number of people contracting such infections in England remains a big threat to sexual well-being. Across England, early-stage syphilis diagnosis rose from 1.7% from 9,375 people in 2023 to 9,535 people in 2024. The overall figure for syphilis, including late-stage syphilis or complications from the infection, increased 5% from 12,456 in 2023 to 13,030 in 2024. Chlamydia fell 13% from 194,143 diagnoses in 2023 to 168,889 in 2024, while people diagnosed for the first time with genital warts also dropped. NHS guidance states that if left untreated, syphilis can cause potentially life-threatening complications. These include heart problems such as heart failure and organ problems, as well as dementia and other brain issues. Syphilis symptoms are often mild and hard to notice and can change over time and may come and go. Warning signs include painless sores or ulcers on the genitals, mouth or hands, along with white or grey warty growths and rashes on the palms or soles. Some sufferers may also experience flu-like symptoms, patchy hair loss and swollen glands. It can take 3 weeks or more for symptoms to appear after infection. Dr. Hamish Mohammed, consultant epidemiologist at UKSHA, said, "Levels of STIs in this country remain a big threat to sexual well-being. These infections can have a major impact on your health and that of any sexual partners, particularly if they are antibiotic resistant. If you've had condomless sex with your new or casual partners, either in the UK or overseas, get tested for STIs and HIV at least once, well, yearly. Even if you don't have symptoms, regular testing protects both you and those you are having sex with. From August, eligible people will also be offered vaccination to reduce the risk of gonorrhea, and we expect to see the immunization program have an impact on diagnosis in this infection in coming years. Please take up the vaccine if you are offered it." Professor Matt Phillips, president of the British Association for Sexual Health and HIV, said, "Whilst it is encouraging to see a fall in the total number of STI diagnoses this year, we nonetheless continue to see historically high rates of sexual infection, with particularly worrying continued increases in infections such as syphilis, which are at their highest ever levels, and the continued spread of antibiotic-resistant disease. It is vital that clear steps are put in place to reverse these trends." He added, "Sexual health services remain under immense pressure, and these new tools risk being deployed into overstretched systems, unable to support them effectively. We find ourselves at a critical point for securing the long-term viability of sexual health services in this country. Only a joined-up, ambitious national strategy can ensure that we are prepared not just for today's sexual health challenges, but for those we know are coming." Minister for Public Health and Prevention Ashley Dalton said, "These data show trends in gonorrhea diagnosis are starting to go in the right direction. However, with rising rates of infectious syphilis and antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea, more work clearly needs to be done. As part of our plan for change, this government is aiming to shift the health service from sickness to prevention. This includes rolling out the world's first vaccine program to prevent gonorrhea this summer. NHS advice warns that in some cases a person's symptoms will improve significantly or go away altogether. But if you have not been treated, the infection is still in your body. And if a person is still infected, they can pass it on to others, as well as still being at risk of bigger health problems down the line. People are urged to see a GP or visit a sexual health clinic if they or a sexual partner has syphilis symptoms. If a sexual partner has told you they have syphilis or any other STI, or if you've recently had sex with a new partner without a condom. This is also the case if you've injected drugs using a needle that's been used by someone who may have syphilis, or if you're pregnant or planning to get pregnant and think you may have syphilis. Syphilis is treated with antibiotics. If you have syphilis, your current and any recent sexual partners will also need to be tested and treated. This is over to you now.
Thank you. So, it was very interesting, that one. So, my final story now is Stokey Ware Pottery Range celebrates city's centenary. And a range of Stokey Ware plates and mugs have been designed and made by Moreland Pottery to mark the city's centenary. John Plant, the co-founder of Burslem-based business, who was a guest judge in an episode of the latest series of Channel 4's The Great Pottery Throwdown, has teamed up with the city's council and designed and manufactured the ceramics in the unique style of Moreland Pottery's Stokey Ware, a range featuring eye-catching drawings that have been sold around the world. The special centenary mug features a miner's wheel, a duck, the canal, and Stoke Knotty Train. Both mugs and plates include the words celebrating 100 years of our city, Stoke-on-Trent Centenary. Moreland Pottery is housed within the same Chelsea Works premises that renowned Art Deco designer Susie Cooper rented from Royal Doulton for 2 years, and it still boasts one of the city's surviving bottle kilns. The Lord Mayor of Stoke-on-Trent, Councillor Lynn Sharp, visited Moreland Pottery to launch the range. Councillor Sharp said it was an honour to meet John at Moreland Pottery and see the new range of centenary ceramics that they've produced to mark our city's centenary year. The detailed designs help tell the story of Stoke-on-Trent through the industry that has made the potteries famous across the world. Their latest mugs and plates and wonderful mementos to remember this special year for a long, long time. John explained more about his designs, adding, "When asked to design a mug to celebrate the centenary, I thought, what are the key elements that enabled Stoke-on-Trent to get city status? What were the catalytic components to spark the creation of a special and unique place? What binds it all together and makes it possible? The answer is quite simple. Clay, coal and water, and of course not forgetting the wonderful people of Stoke-on-Trent who made it all possible." The centenary mugs and plates will be on sale soon, alongside other specially designed merchandise including tea towels, posters, tote bags and pin badges at both the Gladstone Potteries Museum and Potteries Museum and Art Gallery. All proceeds from the sales will be used to support centenary events throughout 2025. So that's it for batch number 7 of local news and features with myself and Uta. Keep listening, because Uta will be coming up very shortly with her one and only snippets.